couple of years ago, I attended a retreat and I met a retired priest from the Oklahoma City Diocese, Father Thomas Doyle, or Boyle, I believe. He shared a story that I still remember. He said that in his parish, I believe the parish of St. Mark, there was an elderly couple of Lebanese immigrants who had been married for over 70 years. They would come to church faithfully every Sunday and always sit in the first pew. They never spoke a word, only looking at each other understandingly, with compassion. Maybe that's the secret to a long-lasting marriage, eh? Don't say a word. And since they could not speak much English, they never greeted the priest, but every time he passed by them, they would both bow their heads. So the priest, Father Thomas, began to respond in kind and turn around and bow to this couple. Now, altar servers who never miss any liturgical news, they noticed that the priest was bowing at this couple. So they asked him, "Father, why do you bow?" He asked them, "Why do you bow at the tabernacle?" "Well, because Jesus is there." "Well, I bow at this couple because Jesus is there. I acknowledge right there the presence of Jesus." The marriage, the married couple, is a sacrament of love. Mind you, they don't receive a sacrament, they become a sacrament. The married couple is a visible sign of God, because God is love. Today's reading, we are invited to meditate on this, on the beauty of marriage. We need to do so, because there is a lot of confusion about this. It seems like marriage is a question of choice. I choose whom to marry, how to marry, and so forth. There is no universal plan. I remember a few years ago, I noticed there was a sitcom on TV. I think it was the year 2012-13. It was called The New Normal. And it was the story of a gay couple in Los Angeles who decided to have a baby. A gay couple hired a surrogate mother, a single mother, who had just survived an abusive situation. So with her young daughter, went to live with this gay couple so as to give them a child. The New Normal, that's the name of the sitcom. Is it really the new normal? Or is there a normal anyway? Well, if we were to ask Jesus, is there a plan for marriage? Something that is considered, as they say, normal. What would he say? I think he would answer just like he did in today's gospel to the Pharisees who were testing him about divorce. He said, "At the beginning," in Greek, enarche. These are very powerful words because they are at the beginning of Genesis and they are also at the beginning of the Gospel of John. Enarche, in the beginning. In other words, according to God's plan. He quotes from Genesis, and today we have Genesis as a first reading. I love this passage from Genesis. I actually find it very funny, because it's in the second chapter of Genesis. In the first chapter, we hear that God created all things, the light and the sky and the earth and the sea and the vegetation and the animals. And every time he creates something, he turns around and looks at it and says, it was very good. Everything was very good. In the second chapter of the book of Genesis, we have a second account of creation. It does not begin with God creating all kinds of things. It begins with the creation of men. And God creates the man, Ish, in Hebrew. And then he looks at him and says, it's not good. I find it very funny. God, who always found good, everything he did, He creates the man, looks at him and says, didn't come out right. It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. And then he fashions Isha, the woman, so that in their love, in their union, they become the image and likeness of God. There's a Neapolitan writer, Costanzo, who said that we human beings, each one of us, we are angels with one wing. We can fly only if we embrace each other. We become the image and likeness of God only in the union of man and woman. And I know this very well because I make no sense. I know this. God said, looking at the man alone, it's not good. I am a man alone. I made a solemn vow of celibacy. I know I make no sense. Actually, I struggled with this a lot, especially before becoming a priest. I found an answer once in a Romanian priest and writer, Constantine Virgil Gheorghiu. He's the author of a novel, The 25th Hour. And in there he says, a priest is not a man. A priest is the sacrifice of a man. To me, that made sense. That gives sense to my being alone. Because otherwise, the Word of God says, is not good for man to be alone. Only in the union of husband and wife, we make sense. We are persons. We are made for relationship, not to be isolated islands. We are made to be husband and wife. And in the union of those who are similar yet not identical, different, just like in God, the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit, but they are one. And in this union, we become the image and likeness of God. The Pharisees tested Jesus. So is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Mind you, there was no divorce the other way around. It was not possible for a woman to divorce her husband in the Jewish patriarchal society. So is it lawful? Apparently Moses said so in Deuteronomy chapter 24. It is said, if a man divorces his wife, he should give her a certificate of divorce. But the context, mind you, is the following. Divorce was happening. Men were dismissing their wives. However, if they, the wives, began a new relationship, the men could accuse them of being unfaithful, adulteresses, in which case they could even be stoned. So Moses established that rule of giving a wife that had been divorced, giving her a certificate to protect her, to say, you see, he divorced me, I can form a new family, a new life. But in the Old Testament, we also find the prophet Malachi who says, thus says the Lord, I hate divorce. I quote chapter 2, verse 14, I believe. I hate divorce. Why? Because that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we form a communion that is faithful, that is lasting, that is fruitful. Because only in that way we become an image and a likeness of God. It's a very high calling you have received. In a way, I envy you. I think that marriage is a beautiful vocation. I spent a few days with my sister Antonella and her husband Franco. They've been married for 20-something years, 25 or so. And I see them struggling, yes, but happy. They're in love. And I admire them. As I say, in a way, I envy them. It's a beautiful vocation. Let's appreciate it. Let's really give out our best to make it work. Yes, there are moments when it becomes difficult. It becomes a sacrifice. Well, I told you earlier that a priest is not a man, he's a sacrifice of a man. Well, that goes for you as well. In a marriage, it's not just man and wife, but it's a man sacrificing for a woman sacrificing for a man. Love is giving yourself to the other. When you marry someone, you make a vow to make that person happy. You don't marry because she makes you happy or vice versa. You marry because you promise the Lord you will make it your own mission to make her happy. So, as you go home tonight, this evening, look your spouse in the eyes and tell him, tell her, my mission is to make you happy. Because in the union of the two of us, we become an image and a likeness of God. You see, God is the one who put you together. According to the Talmud, the rabbinical teaching, God is the ultimate matchmaker. He's the one that makes marriages happen. So much so that there's a story, and I close with this, about Moses Mendelssohn, the grandfather of Felix Mendelssohn, the famous composer. Well, Moses was a very smart, intelligent man, a philosopher, a rabbi, but he was a lot less than beautiful. He was actually short, ugly, and hunchback. So he could not find a wife. But once he went to Hamburg and gave a talk, and he was a guest in a wealthy merchant's house, and this man had a beautiful, beautiful daughter. Moses fell deeply in love with her, but she would not even look at him. He was so deformed. Until the day he was to leave, he gathered all his strength and courage and went to talk to her. But she would not again raise her eyes. And he asked her, is it because of my hump? And she said, yes. And so he asked her, do you believe, like we Jew believe, that all marriages are made in heaven? She said, yes. Well, according to the Talmud, every time a child is born, God announces who his wife will be. When I was born, the name of my wife was announced, but God told me she would be hunchback. And so I cried out, no, Lord, a woman like that will never be happy. Give it to me instead. It is said that this beautiful girl looked at him, at Moses, felt tenderness, compassion, almost a remembrance of an arcane past. She became his wife. They had 5 children. One of them was the father of Felix Mendelssohn, the composer. God is the ultimate matchmaker. That's why Bishop Fulton Sheen wrote a book titled 3 to Marry. It takes 3. It takes God present and uniting men and women to become the image and likeness of God. Let us pray that we may indeed believe this and work for this. We need good families. We need families that live the original plan, God's plan. In the beginning, God made them, male and female, to become one flesh. And what God has joined, man must not divide. Amen.